Invite you to take your Bibles now tonight and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye have come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ending our reading there, and immediately you can tell that the import Paul is getting up to the Corinthians was they needed to be watching and waiting for the coming of Christ. This is the same theme that we have been studying in 1 Thessalonians to this point. And it's good for us to be reminded of those things. Because, well, we can become settled. We can sit back in our own little world. And yet the Lord reminds us, lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth near, draws nigh to us. And we are always to be thinking that our life is to be lived in light of the Lord's soon return. Let's bow, please, in a word of prayer. Dear Father, thankful for Thy presence with us tonight. Thankful, Lord, for Your rich grace to us. We have received abundantly. Lord, we have received mercy upon mercy, grace upon grace. We have been given faith that we might believe. And so, O God, tonight I pray that the Holy Spirit will come now and settle us in this meeting. Lord, I pray that we would be changed where we need to be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus. Help us, we pray, in a world that vacillates, the very ground that heaves under the weight of sin. O God, we ask of Thee to help us to shine brightly in our day. Help us to be lights. Dear God, open doors of witness for us. Open avenues of outreach. Bless us in all that we put our hands to do. Lord, we pray in advance for the distribution of the book of Acts. We pray that the message of the gospel and what happened in the early days of the New Testament church and how the gospel made great impact upon that world then, that, Lord, it might please Thee to use Thy holy word, putting the gospel into the very hearts of those who are still unsaved. Think of what happened on the day of Pentecost, of over 3,000 souls coming to Christ, a revival like none other. Lord, please come and work in the souls of people to this day. Help us to be ourselves very much engaged in this vital ministry. So, Lord, be with us now tonight. Please take away every distraction from our minds, our hearts, thoughts of tomorrow. And Lord, just for whatever time we have left in this evening service, draw very, very near to us and help us to understand. And Lord, help us to apply the Scriptures to our heart. Don't allow us to just let it go in one ear and out the other and to think it doesn't apply to our hearts. Teach us what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. Give us grace now this evening. Be with those who are sick and set aside. Comfort them in the hospital bed where they are at home, convalescing. Lord, may they know the presence of the Spirit of God with them tonight. We ask in our Savior's name. Amen. I want to draw your attention, please, to verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 1, where Paul said to these believers that in everything ye are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. The simple title for our message tonight is Rich Beyond Measure. Rich Beyond Measure. Last evening in Las Vegas, there was a boxing match between a man called Mayweather and another man called Manny Pacquiao. It was said to be the most lucrative of all boxing matches in history. And the gross income was over $400 million. The two guys who were knocking at each other in the ring, Mayweather made $180 million for that fight. And the other guy who lost, he only made $120 million. So it was a bad night for him. Mayweather made $5 million per minute. That's not a bad wage. I don't know how he's going to spend all that money, but I'm sure he will find a way somehow. So all those who enjoyed boxing and enjoy that particular sport, which, by the way, the Apostle Paul also uses as an illustration of those that fight and use their skills to the right advantage. Well, here's a situation of this particular fight that made a lot of money. Now, if you were to stack $1,000 bills in a pile, in order to make $1 million, you would have a 4-inch high pile on your table. So Mayweather's pile was about 60 feet high of $1,000 bills. $1 billion reaches 333 feet high. Just for a comparison, if you were to stack $1 trillion on a pile, it would reach 63 miles high. At this present time, the national debt of the United States is over 700 miles high, well into the atmosphere, or well through the atmosphere. It's difficult for us to comprehend such figures as this. It's at a time like this that we must be reminded as Christians that our citizenship is not on earth, but it is in heaven. Because here on earth we have no continuing city, but we seek one that is to come. And the Word of God tells us that we are not to trust in uncertain riches. The statistics of those who have won the lottery or that have come into great amounts of money, it is staggering how such people can find themselves on the poverty line not that many years following the great income they have received. Because riches seem to take themselves wings and they fly away. The psalmist said, if riches increase in your life, set not your heart upon them. The Proverbs 23 verse 5 says, riches certainly make themselves wings and they fly away. So as we think about verse 5 here tonight, I want us to keep it in that context, because we are told here that in everything you are enriched through Christ Jesus. It's good to be reminded about our real wealth and where it is. And it means that you and I tonight are rich toward God in a type of wealth that is not anything to do with an earthly treasure. Because you see, the wealth that we have in God, it cannot corrupt. Moth and rust cannot break through, and it cannot be stolen. We talked about a rusty pair of pliers this morning. You see, the wealth that the Lord gives to us does not succumb to such things as the wear and tear that the things of earth go through. Please notice with me then, first of all, the nature of this enrichment that we have. The nature of this enrichment, it is spiritual and it is not physical. How did that ring for the apostle when he died, Paul, when his life was taken away from him? He had literally nothing of this world's goods. He died in poverty. He died without having amassed anything to himself. His whole life was given and spent. But tell me today, is Paul the apostle rich toward God? Oh, we know that he is. Nothing can be compared to the wealth that we have in the Lord Jesus. You know, the standard of living that we enjoy in our land, it's considered to be great compared to third world countries and many nations that are in great poverty. We have blessings abundant. We have food, we have fresh water, we have shelter, we have every amenity that we could imagine that makes our life comfortable, that we can go forward. And sometimes the risk is for us to think that all these things have always been here and they always will be here, and we deserve them because we are Canadian citizens and we live in this land and so on and so on. We can forget, friends, that none of these things are guaranteed to us. And so as a child of God, we must never forget to thank the Lord for the benefits and blessings that we receive every day. And when we come to the point of complaining, if something doesn't quite go the way we want it to, let us zip our mouth. And let us never be of those who have a complaining spirit against things that we are lacking, things we don't have, or the reasons why we think we should have more. The word in our text that says enriched, it means to be made full, to have abundance, a plenitude. And in the context, it's dealing with our spiritual riches. We know that spiritual riches, they are enduring. Oh, that this could be more impressed upon all of us, on the young and the old. For if you are in Christ today, friend, if you are a true child of God, you have riches that go beyond all the possessions of the wealthiest in this world. And a man who makes $180 million for one night's work, does that mount up to lasting wealth? To the riches that are eternal? To the wealth that we have spiritually in Christ? We are enriched in Him, the apostle says. In Revelation 2, it says, "And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works," Jesus said to them, "and I know your tribulation and your poverty, but thou art rich." This is the word that Christ spoke to the church of Smyrna. He said, yes, I can see you are poverty ridden. I can see you have difficulty. You are not to be equaled with the wealthy and the rich of your day. But the Lord said, this people was a rich people. And why? Because they were enriched in Him. They were enriched through the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me for a moment to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse 16. And Jesus spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. My friend, that is a most powerful parable the Lord told, and it still echoes to this day. And those who are rich toward themselves but are not rich toward God, how poor are they? They are eternally poor. And a man that has much money, that so much more that he knows he can even ever spend, yet the Lord will say to that man, Thou fool, this very night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then, what will you do? Never mind who will take all of your earthly goods. And then, what will you do? And friend, if you're here tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that word would come to you, and then, what will you do? You are not rich toward God because you have not the Lord in your heart. And tonight I stand in the stead, in the place of Christ, and I appeal to you, I exhort you with all exhortation, flee from the wrath that is to come, flee from the emptiness of this world's things, and place your confidence, your hope alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We are all in danger of being planted too deeply in the world. And it often happens, really, without our taking great knowledge of it. It can happen over the course of years when, well, we just have become accustomed to our way of life. And we have gone through the motions. And we have gone through all of the things that we have enjoyed. And maybe our roots, maybe our attachments have become too focused in this present world. What is the danger? Well, you see, the indictment came against the Laodicean church. And it's been repeated frequently in history, but perhaps never more so than in the materialism and the world that we live in today. Listen to the words that John spoke in Revelation chapter 3. These are the words of Christ. He said, Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works. But thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, that word of Christ was spoken against one of his churches. How sad, friend. Does that apply to us in any degree? Let us search our hearts and search before the Lord tonight and wonder how the Lord would write up our testimony. What kind of a report card would we receive from Him? This is an important thought for us. You know, Paul brings the connection to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 7 and 8, for he said, "Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast received it not? Now ye are full," he says, "now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God ye did reign, that we might also reign with you." But Paul is using this term in this way as a rebuke to the Corinthians, to correct them because their thinking was wrong. He said, "Yes, you are rich, but not in the right way." Are we rich, but maybe not in the right way before the Lord? I pray that tonight the Holy Spirit would help us and that we would examine our own souls, because the richness whereby we are enriched in Him and through Christ, it is spiritual and it is not temporal. But there's something else about it. It is an eternal wealth that we have. It's not something that is just fastened to this place. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7, we're told, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out." If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. You see, man is poor by nature, poor in time, but my friend, he is poorer in eternity. But you see, united to Christ, we have a wealth that will go beyond that thing. It is an eternal inheritance that we have possessed from Him. And the enrichment of the Lord, it transcends everything that is temporary, everything that is temporal. It goes beyond. And the Lord says to us in Matthew, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But," he says, "lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." There is something that's very important for us to think about in this, that our inheritance, the spiritual enrichment that we have, it is not temporal, but it is eternal. I want you to also think about the extent of this richness. It is in everything. That's what our text says. It is in all utterance and in all knowledge. The word utterance is the word logos, and it means word. In the beginning was the word, the logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And Jesus the Messiah, who is the second person in the Godhead, the Creator of all things. The Logos, you see, is a comprehensive word. And it means, it has many shades of meaning. It includes a discourse or a doctrine, a reason, or a mental faculty. And so the word logos is translated in our text utterance or discourse. And the ability to communicate the wonderful works of God, which is exactly what happened in Pentecost in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, when by the supernatural outpouring of God's Spirit, the apostles were able to communicate in a language they had not learned. And what did they communicate? They spoke of the utterance of the wonderful works of God. They were given that discourse because they were enriched through Him and they were given all utterance. See, this enrichment, something that's a result of a dramatic change that has taken place within the heart. It's called regeneration. When we have been brought out of darkness and into light, and when that happens in a person's life and heart, we are changed. and we are brought into that relationship with Christ, that means we are not the same people that we were. We are new creations. We are given a new destiny. We have a new home. We have a new citizenship. And this utterance flows through us by the Holy Spirit so that we are able to speak the message of life and light and truth. Not only is it all utterance, but the Lord says here, we have also all knowledge. It's a very common word, knowledge, in the New Testament. For example, in Luke 1:77, it says to give knowledge of the salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. It's a broad word. To give information. To communicate a message. In Philippians 3 and verse 8, the apostle says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." You see, the enlightenment that the apostle had, and the enrichment he had, and the knowledge he had, was because he knew the Lord, and his heart had been opened. And friend, do you possess that knowledge tonight? Have you been enriched with that knowledge? If you are an unbeliever, you have not. But if you are a true child of God, we possess that. When a man is converted to Jesus Christ, he receives a new nature. It's a divine nature. And old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. We are enriched in word to communicate. And what are we to communicate? We are to communicate who the Lord is and what He has done for us. And being enriched with that knowledge, it's a transforming power. And it is by and through Him that we are enabled by the riches of His grace. For we are said to be rich in grace and rich in faith. James 2 and verse 15 or verse 5. And I love this verse of Romans 11. It says, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. And that wealth He has given to us because it is eternal and not temporal." But I want you to notice, thirdly, and it is the source of this enrichment that has been promised to us. In those two little words, in 1 Corinthians 1:5, by Him. By who? By Christ Himself, that we have been enriched. And all that we have and all that we are in this life and in the life to come, my friend, it is by Him, it is through Him. And we have nothing to boast in ourselves, but all that we have naturally is our weak and sinful humanity. When we lift up our eyes by God's grace and we lay hold of Him by faith, we see Him whom our soul loves now. We look up to the hill of God. We look to the cross of Calvary. We look and see all that the Lord has done for us. You know, it's necessary for us to see ourselves as really who we are and what we are. We are full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, as Isaiah says. But let this view serve its purpose. And then, believer, turn your eyes away from self and away from that awful and ugly sight of our own sinfulness and look into the face of our Redeemer. Because tonight, we are enriched through Him and by Him. Paul talked of the unsearchable riches of Christ. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Him. And so, friends, if you have everything but Christ, you have nothing. But if you have nothing but Christ, you have everything. Paul goes on to speak to the Corinthians about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. Our outlook is not one of gloom and doom. Our outlook is one that is filled with hope, and therefore whatever becomes of this world's goods by way of investments, let us be sure to keep our eyes upon Christ and to look full in His wonderful face. And we'll be able to say with the apostle, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor and yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Do you know, as we think of what the Lord has blessed us with in our land, we do live in a land of plenty. And the Lord has given us all things richly to enjoy. And we are not to despise those blessings in any way, either in our own lives or in the lives of some other brother or sister. We should rejoice with them. But let us always keep in mind that that is not the end game, the end goal. But it is that we will be rich toward God. For we are in Him, enriched in all things, that we might glorify and live for Him every single day. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Dear Lord, we pray that tonight the Word of God would help us, encourage us, strengthen us on our way. Take away, Lord, the times in which we could be guilty of envy of what other people have. When those thoughts come in, those temptations perhaps, Lord, lift our eyes heavenward. Let us come back to the Scripture and realize our wealth, our richness is toward and through the Lord. And so, Father, in all things, help us to rejoice and to give thanks. And Lord, take away from us always any complaining spirit. Separate us now, Lord, in Thy fear, with Thy rich blessing. Be upon us, we pray. And Lord, any who are still unsaved, speak to their heart, we ask. Bring them through for the Savior tonight. These things we pray in our Savior's precious name. Amen.